An uptick in violent crime in cities across the U.S. has become a political issue. In primary elections Tuesday, the message from voters was mixed. Some local candidates who supported more policing had success in some races. In others, those candidates lost to people who want more police accountability. Crime is coming up in Wisconsin races, too. Here's Rebecca Clayfish, Republican candidate for governor, talking outside a Fiserv forum in Milwaukee last month after multiple shootings left 3 people dead and 21 injured in one weekend.
We need to take back control. We need to take back our streets from the violent criminals. And we need to stop catch and release policies with bad district attorneys and bad judges who simply allow the bad guys to go free and terrorize our families.
You could join in at 800-642-1234. Is crime a voting issue for you? More so this year than in the past? Are you worried about crime where you live? Are you going to vote on that issue in the next election at the local or federal level? Do you want to see elected officials take a tougher stance on crime or focus more on alternatives like funding social services? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can email ideas@WPR.org. Michael Flam is a history professor at Ohio Wesleyan University. He's the author of the book Law and Order, Street Crime, Civil Unrest, and the Crisis of Liberalism in the 1960s. Michael, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Well, I love going back and looking at the 60s and maybe early 70s era for some compare and contrast. Can you set us up with how the law and order issue emerged as such a political issue then?
So the law and order issue emerges in the mid-1960s for a number of reasons, but one major cause is a sharp increase in violent crime. And liberals at first sort of dismiss the rise in violent crime. They claim it's a mirage. They claim that it's not really taking place. Later, they argue that to talk about crime is to be a racist. And then, you know, later liberals argue, rightly or wrongly, that the way to address crime is to attack the root causes, whether it's poverty or poor housing or bad education. In other words, more social programs. And conservatives respond very effectively, at least in the minds of many white middle-class voters, by arguing that no, what the United States doesn't need is more social programs. What the United States needs is more police with fewer restraints, tougher judges, longer sentences, bigger prisons. That's the law and order message that conservatives are promoting in the 1960s, and it really helps them.
Can you talk about how it helped conservatives politically and how it paid off?
It helps conservatives because it undercuts, it erodes the legitimacy of liberalism. It's a way for conservatives to attack the great society, the liberal social programs of John Kennedy and Lyndon Johnson. Law and order also enables conservatives to attack the civil rights movement indirectly by arguing that they're not opposed to civil rights, they're just concerned about this rise in disorder, this rise in crime, the way that, you know, streets, neighborhoods, cities are suddenly feeling very unsafe for many Americans.
You've looked at the idea of security as an issue for voters over the years, and that might mean violent crime. It might be concerns about social disorder. Can you talk about security as a motivating force, or at least a potential motivating force for a number of voters?
Yeah, that's a terrific and really important point, Rob. Throughout U.S. history, at least in the 20th century, it's clear that security is usually the overriding issue for voters in an election. Now, security can take different forms. Sometimes it can be about national security, during the Cold War, for example. Other times it can be about economic security, when the United States is, you know, experiencing tough times like it is right now economically. And at still other times, security means personal security. Do I feel safe in my home, in my neighborhood? Do I feel like my family is safe? What about my friends? And so security is a critical issue. It just takes different forms at different moments.
We're talking to Michael Flam, history professor at Ohio Wesleyan University, author of the book Law and Order. We're looking at crime and law and order politicking in American elections, past and present. You can join in at 800-642-1234 in this midterm election year. Do you want to hear candidates talking about crime and or punishment? And what do you want to hear them saying? Do you want to hear calls for more police or more preventive programs, more preventive social programs? What solutions do you want to see leaders, elected leaders in particular, working toward? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. All right, Michael, now here we are, 2022. We had a long, from the, you know, kind of some crime peaks in the 80s and 90s, long-term decline in many forms of crime, including violent crime. Now, in the last couple of years, we have this increase, especially in homicide, a lot of gun violence involved in that homicide. What do you look for as you watch to see how politicians use this issue or avoid the issue?
Well, first of all, it's important to note that the rise in crime that we've witnessed the last couple of years, it's taking place across the country. It's not just in cities, it's in small towns, it's in suburbs, it's in rural areas as well. So, you know, although a lot of focus has been on some high profile incidents of violent crime in, you know, cities like Milwaukee, for example, you know, we're also having plenty of shootings and tragedies and crime taking place in small towns in Texas, for example. So I do think it's important for people to keep that in mind. What I'm seeing, it's quite interesting, is that in this election cycle, liberals are really handicapped by that slogan, defund the police, which sort of grew out of the Black Lives Matter movement a couple of years ago. And you see plenty of liberals sort of trying to sort of backpedal and distance themselves from that position, because it's created a big opening for conservatives to, you know, attack what they see as defund the police, or also what they see as, you know, catch and release. This has been a very popular target for conservatives, liberal DAs who have de-emphasized certain nonviolent issues and have really sort of, sought to limit the number of people who are being processed in the system and sent to prison.
Now, President Biden specifically criticized the defund the police message. I think it was a leaked audio soon after the last elections. He was worried that it had cost Democrats House seats, very likely. He made a point in funding, including COVID relief funding, of saying, yeah, the federal government doesn't provide most police funding, but bumping up police funding for communities around the country. Is the action of doing that something that's going to make a difference to voters? Is the perception of what Democrats think about crime more important?
Terrific point. Perception usually matters more than reality to voters. How issues are framed and presented tends to matter more than the underlying realities or statistics. In general, the federal government plays a small role in law enforcement in this country. Most law enforcement is local. And so the federal involvement is really at the margins. But I think that that's a really hard point to make. It's particularly hard for President Biden and for liberal Democrats, because in general, liberals argue that the federal government can and should play a role in trying to solve the major problems that we face as citizens and as voters. So it's hard for them to back away on this crime issue, even though technically the president's correct.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Scott is with us in Northern Illinois. Scott, hi.
Hey, how are you doing today?
Good. What do you want to bring up?
Good. At the point of it, I think the Democrats have become too progressive with the whole war. Not criminalizing misdemeanors and whatnot, but I think the Republicans have become too hard and enforcing the war on drugs. And I'm all for let's legalize marijuana, but I think we still need to maintain criminal, charges, people who are dealing it. But I think part of it too is let's lower the taxes on marijuana and let's make it more affordable so it can compete with the black market, and we can keep people out of the system that way. That's just my thoughts on it.
Scott, thanks for the call. A couple things there. First of all, is there a viable sort of middle ground position for a candidate in a time like this to take on crime, Michael?
I'm not sure there's a viable middle position for a candidate or for a politician. We've seen sort of hyper politicization in our process, and we've seen sort of for politicians There's a lot of risk and not a lot of reward for moving to the center. You know, you want to play to your base, whether your base is progressive on the left or conservative on the right. I do think the caller makes a good point. You know, there is a middle ground here to decriminalize certain aspects of marijuana use and possession, particularly when it's nonviolent. Unfortunately, we've seen a lot of movement in that direction, and it's coincided with a sharp increase, as you pointed out, in shootings, in killings, in violent crime. And it's not necessarily cause and effect, but they're happening at the same moment. And so they're contributing to this sense in the minds of many voters that their streets and their neighborhoods have become a lot less safe.
Scott, thanks for the call. We're talking to Michael Flam, history professor at Ohio Wesleyan University, with us today to talk about how crime has shown up as a political issue in past election seasons, what it might tell us about a focus on crime in elections this year. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Is crime an issue that brings you out to the polls? Is it an important thing you want your candidates for any office to address, local or federal? Are you worried about crime in particular in your own community? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@wpr.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up here on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our talk about crime as a voting issue in American politics. Michael Flam with Ohio Wesleyan University stays with us, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. If we surveyed you, would you put crime at or near the top of your list of issues you are worried about? Why or why not? What do you want to hear Democrats talking about, Republicans talking about when it comes to issues of crime, crime prevention, incarceration, and more? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@wpr.org. Michael, it wasn't that long ago that I was talking to coalitions of conservatives and liberals who are really interested in prison reform, getting the numbers of people incarcerated down. President Trump made some cases during his term about that, made some high-profile efforts to bring some people out of prison. Is that era over now, do you think?
I think, Rob, it is over. There was a moment where it seemed like politically there was an alignment. Conservatives wanted to shrink the prison population in order to reduce public spending, reduce costs. And liberals were interested in moving away from this mass incarceration model where we filled our prisons with individuals who had committed nonviolent crimes, and where the United States had more people behind bars than any other country in the world. So there was this brief moment where, you know, the interests of liberals and conservatives were in alignment. But now I fear that the politics of law and order have reemerged, and the conservatives see it as a clear winner for them. And so I don't think that they're going to move to the middle ground or make any concessions to liberals.
Do you think that the politics that surrounds this actually gets in the way of solutions, of getting people together to find actual solutions for the problem of crime?
I do think that the politics of crime and the politics of law and order do get in the way of finding a compromise, finding a middle ground, finding common sense solutions. Of course, you know, law enforcement, criminal justice is not unique in that regard. We do find that, political gridlock or deadlock prevents us from moving ahead on a host of issues.
Let's go back to our callers at 800-642-1234. Martha is with us in Menominee. Martha, hello.
Yeah. Hey, Rob, you know, that the whole headline, you know, crime wave, it really does bring people out. It gets the base fired up. But what are we talking about? Are we talking street crime? Are we talking internet crime, white collar crime? I'm getting out to the polls because I'm going to vote against the crime against democracy. I'm not for insurrectionists running for office in Wisconsin, so that's getting me out to the polls.
Martha, thanks a lot for the call. It's an interesting point, Michael. I think people, when they think crime, they are thinking, as Martha said, of street crime often, of violence, in cities, but as you pointed out, elsewhere, other people might have other focuses when it comes to crime.
It's a great point. You know, we publicize, we politicize certain crimes. If it bleeds, it leads in the media. And the caller is absolutely correct. We could focus on white collar crime. We could focus on internet crime. We could focus on political crimes in different forms and formats here. So it's a very good point. I will say that politically, you know, it's the sensational violent crime that attracts public attention. You know, it's the violent crime in the streets, not the crime in the suites, white collar crime that tends to get the attention from the media.
Well, it's thanks for that call. That kind of visceral reaction, like we might agree that white collar crime is bad. If I wasn't the one fleeced by it, I might not feel that visceral reaction, though. We might not like the insurrection at the Capitol, but it doesn't have that "it could happen to me" element to it.
Well, that's right. And the costs of, you know, white collar crime, let's say, are widely distributed and usually relatively small for individuals. Whereas the impact of violent crime, I mean, that falls really hard on individuals, on families, communities. It's much more concentrated and much more, I would say, directly, viscerally painful for those who are affected.
Let's bring on another caller now. Kathy is with us in Madison. Kathy, hi.
Well, hi. Yeah, it's going to be an issue for a lot of people in Wisconsin. Walker and Clayfish got rid of background checks when purchasing guns when she was lieutenant governor and Walker was governor. So we don't have that in Wisconsin anymore. And anybody under 21 should not be able to purchase an R-15. That's the last three shooters, the Texas one, the Park Falls, and the Tops grocery store. All those kids were under 21 with an IR-15. And I'd rather have them banned altogether, but at the very least, get them out of the hands of these kids under 21. And I'm really pissed about that. So, yeah.
Kathy, thanks for the call. Michael, is that maybe a response from Democrats, instead of emphasizing the word crime in gun crime, emphasizing the word gun and trying to hit that as an issue?
Well, it is interesting. And in the 1960s, liberals and Democrats in particular sort of for the first time raised gun control as a possible response to violent crime. It does make a certain degree of sense, certainly certain types of weapons, mental health issues, young offenders. The problem here is that most Democratic politicians, particularly those who have to run statewide, are simply scared of the gun control issue. They sort of almost view it as the third rail of American politics. It's, you know, no reward, plenty of risk, no real upside. And so although it might make sense, I don't see a lot of Democrats, at least those who are not running from safe, you know, seats or districts, really putting gun control front and center.
Thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. Talking to Michael Flam, history professor at Ohio Wesleyan University, about crime as a political issue. Back to your calls now. Liz is with us in Dodgeville. Liz, hi.
Yeah, hi. Say, I just want to say I live in southwest Wisconsin, and I think the whole defund police thing for Dems was kind of a fake issue. I think it was pertinent in a couple communities, but I think the media seized upon it. I'm the chair of the Iowa County Dems. I don't know a single Dem who wants to defund the police. I think we actually need community police who march around the neighborhood, know people, and mental health teams such as the one they have in Madison that can de-escalate people who suffer from mental illness. We already know that if we put some money into early childhood programs, such as poverty and excellent daycares and preschools, that's where we're going to get a payback. And don't have all the people with low incomes stuck in the same neighborhood together. There should be affordable housing interspersed. So it's sort of a combination, and I hate that everyone tries to make it an either-or. It's not a black or white, and I think there's a lot of common ground, but that's not how people tend to think or vote these days, and it's a shame.
Liz, thanks for that call. Michael, what do you think?
You know, it's another terrific point by one of your callers. I also do not believe that there are very many Democratic politicians who support the idea of defund the police. Unfortunately, the slogan got out there, promoted by the media, and now it's been politicized. This is another case where the perception, unfortunately, matters more than the reality. The caller is absolutely correct. We do need more emphasis on mental health. And it's true that very, very few Democrats, particularly politicians, professional politicians, endorse the slogan of defund the police. But that's the perception that's out there.
Thanks a lot for that call, Liz. Michael, in just our last couple minutes, are there lessons you think we can learn from the politics of crime back in the 60s and 70s to, again, we've got a lot of partisanship today, but to maybe overcome some of the hot button sides of things and arrive at solutions?
Well, the lesson for liberals and Democrats is that they need to take the issue of order and security very, very seriously. Because for voters, particularly middle-class white voters, that's really, really important. And they should know that conservatives take the issue very seriously, and they're going to use it whenever they can. At the same time, I want to go back to the point, moving beyond the political issue, we really do need to try to hold politicians in both parties on both edges of the sort of political spectrum. We need to hold them accountable in terms of demanding sort of common sense middle ground measures that will really address the issues of crime and violence in our society more effectively.
Michael, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you for inviting me.
That's Michael Flam, history professor at Ohio Wesleyan University, author of the book Law and Order, Street Crime, Civil Unrest, and the Crisis of Liberalism in the 1960s. He's with us today to talk about the role crime has played as a political issue in American elections and whether it will do so again in this year's midterms. Still time for you to share your thoughts. Email ideas@WPR.org.